The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is from Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Working together with them, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. "On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him and with them in the boat, just as he was. The other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even wind and sea obey him?'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During this time of the church year, this season, this lengthy green season of the church year, the church focuses our attention, of course, as always, on Christ crucified for sinners, but also during this season, green means growth. It symbolizes growth. So the church focuses on growth. That also includes your growth as a Christian, as a member in the boat of this holy Christian and apostolic church, as well as my growth. Our maturity, you might say, in Christ, as we remain connected to Christ, and nourished by him, the lush, green vine of Christ crucified for sinners. So in our gospel reading this morning from Mark chapter 4, we hear of Jesus calming the storm. And as with all of Scripture, the Holy Spirit has caused this account to be recorded for us, for our benefit, for our growth, you could say, for our maturity and our strengthening of our faith. In our gospel text, we have the disciples, many of whom were experienced fishermen and therefore experienced sailors and boatmen. They're stuck in the middle of the sea, and suddenly the sky turns ominously black, and a great windstorm rolls in. I kind of like the NIV translation. ESV does a good job of translating it, but the NIV, I kind of like it. It says, a furious squall rolled in. One that was furious enough, that's why I like it, furious enough that it scared these experienced men, these experienced fishermen and boatmen. It rapidly rolls in. It leaves the disciples feeling helpless, scared, limited, and humbled by forces that are far greater than they. They are at the mercy of God's mighty creation, the violent wind and the waves that are pounding now at their boat. These things are bigger than them. And by the way, a proper appreciation for God's vast, good creation does this. It kind of puts you in your place and shows you just how really small you are. That's what the Lord was doing to Job in our Old Testament reading. Where were you when I created this vast universe and all that is in it, and the world and the waves and all of that? Where were you? Right? So it kind of puts you in your place. It humbles you. Nonetheless, it's a scary situation that the disciples find themselves in. No doubt, though, it is one that the Lord used as a test for their faith. You see, Jesus had just preached to the disciples about faith earlier in Mark chapter 4. He told them two parables about faith and how it sprouts or grows as a result of the implanted word, the implanted seed of God's word that is put into them. He's just compared faith to a lamp that shines forth into the darkness and should not be covered up. He spoke about faith, and you heard this last week, that grows from a tiny mustard seed into one of the largest plants, a large, robust plant, growth. And in the verse right before our gospel lesson, Mark tells us that Jesus explained these parables to them, to his disciples, privately. He set them aside and explained these things to them. So with all of this word that is being implanted into them, you would think that the disciples' faith would have grown, that it would be strong and bold and robust. But when it came time to show their faith, in the face of certain danger and impending death, at least in their own minds, they acted as if they had none. They failed the test. In their panic, they woke Jesus from his calm, peaceful rest. They got him up, and he gets up. He rebuked the wind and the sea with a simple word, simple spoken word, peace. Be still. The wind ceased. It had to. It had to obey Jesus, the Almighty. And there was a great calm. Then he turned to his disciples and he asked, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? In times of testing, faith is revealed. And like a dagger to the heart, Jesus just revealed how tiny, how insignificant and little their faith truly was at that moment. So little, in fact, that it appeared as if they had none. Now, granted, most of us are not tested exactly in this same way, but we are tested. You may not literally be in the middle of the sea caught in a furious squall, but you are tested. We all are tested in various ways in one way or another. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you have been in a similar life-threatening situation, say like a tornado or a derecho. These happen. so that now, whenever there's a chance of rain, you are a little afraid. And you have your nose on your Facebook or your app, your weather app, on your phone or glued to the weather channel with a little bit of fear. Maybe you're being tested financially. Can I really afford this or that? Will the Lord really provide, as he promises, all that I need to support this body and life? Maybe you're being tested with health concerns, health problems, perhaps even chronic health problems. Will there ever, Lord, will there ever be someone who can help, some relief? Is there ever going to be relief in sight? Or maybe you're being constantly tested and pressured to abandon the truth of God's word, whether that be at work or at school or even within your own family. Or maybe you're familiar with all the above, and the raging storm that affects you is within, in your anxious, fearful heart and your mind and your spirit. As James 1, verse 6 says, the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed in the wind. Perhaps that describes you. Yes, the Lord does test us. And these times of testing provide the opportunity for us to show the faith that God has implanted in us. But all too often, we fail. Our faith is shown to be little. So little that at times it appears that it's not even there. And in our times of testing, we may easily then find ourselves being tempted to turn to Jesus and scream, Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing, that I am perishing? If you're like me, during these times of testing, where you should be resolute, you should be certain, you should be faithful, you should have peace, you find yourself being scared, anxious, doubtful, and far from peace. When the Lord tests you, he is revealing that all of your experiences, all of your expertise cannot save you. All of your ability cannot save you. It cannot even save you from howling wind and crashing waves beating down around you. When all the earthly, temporal stuff that we all like to prop up and to support ourselves to get us through this life, when all of that comes crashing down, when the weak, when you're taking on water because in the boat and it seems as though your life is going to be in jeopardy, what sort of faith will be revealed? What sort of faith will be uncovered? Will it uncover a little scared faith like that of the disciples, who at this point in the gospel reading clearly feared death more than they feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things? Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care that we are perishing? Or will it reveal a strong, bold, mature faith that stands confidently in God's promises? A faith that depends completely upon Christ and Christ alone and his almighty power to save and to save again. One that trusts that Jesus really does care. That though we fail, he will never fail us. Yes, the disciples failed this test. They needed to learn. They needed to learn just how dependent they truly are upon Christ alone for all of it. Salvation, all of it. Earthly needs, all of it. And guess what? They failed many more tests after this too. But all along, our Lord Jesus Christ knew what he was doing through these tests. He used this fierce squall to reveal their weak faith. Why? So that he could strengthen it. So that he could make it grow and trust in him. Jesus taught, they learned. He wanted their faith to grow into a strong, bold, mature faith. Such a faith would be revealed later, after Christ's death, and resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit, say the book of Acts and onward, right? We do see this mighty faith. Eventually, strengthened by Christ's death and resurrection and believing that Christ's death on the cross has forever reconciled the world with God, they then did have the strength. The disciples couldn't help but tell other people this good news about Jesus. They endured persecution because of this good message, this gospel message of Christ crucified. As the Apostle Paul says in our epistle reading, Paul, who wasn't quite yet on the boat yet in Mark 4, but he says this in our epistle lesson, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonment, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. All these things. And later, we see that the disciples are even willing to go to their death, to be martyred for the sake of Christ and the gospel. And that is Christ's desire for each one of you, too. Not literal martyrdom, but you never know. Jesus desires to give you, though, that strong, mature faith. A faith that does die to self and clings to Christ and Christ alone in every situation. Because we recognize that he will remain steadfast when we fail. And therefore we are able to stand when tested. A faith that is confident to the question that is answered at the end of our gospel reading. Who then is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. This is God Almighty. This is Jesus, the Son of God, who became a man for me, who gave his life on the cross for me to save me, who rose again for me, who always cares for me and will never fail me. This is Jesus, my Savior. Jesus desires to give you this strong, mature faith, a faith that doesn't fear death or financial ruin or being scoffed at by unbelievers or any amount of suffering. It fears none of that more than it fears, loves, and trusts in God alone. Rather, it is so confident in Christ and what Christ has done that it can stand firm. Even when the wind is howling, even when the waves are crashing all around you and within. I have good news for you this morning. While you and I continually fail the tests that the Lord gives to us, Jesus never fails. He never fails you. So whatever tests the Lord has placed in your life, he is using them to teach you. He is using them to give you growth, that your faith may be mature enough to recognize that all those tests in your life are actually for your own good, to bring you closer to your Savior. The Lord tests you, and he tests you to drive you right here, to bring you right here. Because Jesus, who died and rose again for you, remains here with you in this boat. In the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church, the holy ark of the Christian Church, Christ has promised that he is present in this boat for you, with his word and his sacrament for you. The one who has the power and the authority to calm the wind and the waves, the one speaking to Job with all that might and power and authority, he is here for you. And he will safely lead you through whatever storms you are facing. And eventually, he will bring you eternal peace with him in heaven. Christ is present. He is with you in the boat. He is here to forgive you with his outstretched, pierced hands, forgiving you of all of your sins. Every single time that you have failed one of his tests, he forgives, wipes away, covered in his blood. He is here to teach you and to free you from the lie that you are in control, that you are independent. You don't need anyone else, and you don't. The lie is you perhaps don't even need God or his church because you are self-sufficient and you can do everything yourself. a lie. Christ is present here in this boat to strengthen you and to lead you to complete and total dependence upon Him who cares for you and He gives you every good thing. And that is growth and maturity in Christ, clinging to Him, abandoning ourselves, clinging to Him alone, for He will never fail you. Here, gathered around Christ, His word, and His sacrament, Christ promises He will grow and mature your faith so that as you continue to cling to Christ, you may be strengthened for whatever fierce squall might be coming. You're ready. So be at peace. Be still. Be at peace in Jesus Christ, for your mighty Savior is here, and He is with you, and He is for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.